Support comes from the Rosa Parks Museum on Troy University's Montgomery campus. Located on the spot of Mrs. Parks' historic 1955 arrest and featuring exhibits that chronicle the history of the Montgomery bus boycott. More information at troy.edu/Rosa Parks.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. With Russia prominent in the news this week, we thought we'd drop back and bring you a family story that reflected Russia's history. Dr. Michael Slobodchkov is the chair of the Political Science Department at Troy University and a Russia analyst for BBC World News. So today and tomorrow, we're going to bring you part one and part two of his family story. Professor Michael Slobodchkov, chair of the Troy University Department of Political Science, thank you so much for joining us again here at Troy Public Radio.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Carolyn.
You've done several interviews with us on In Focus, and your personal family story is tremendously interesting as an oral history. So I wanted to delve into that today for the listeners.
Sure, it would be my pleasure.
Let's start back with either your grandparents or your great-grandparents and just bring it forward and tell that family story.
Sure. So my great-grandfather was part of the landed aristocracy in Russia. Both sets of great-grandparents were. So they were fairly high bureaucrats in the government in Russia under the Tsar. One set of them lived in Samara on the Volga River and also lived in Moscow. And the other set lived near Lake Baikal, Siberia.
So what did they do in service to the Tsar and his government?
My great-grandfather was a lawyer. He handled a lot of the real estate and things for the Tsar's government. And he was a general lawyer there who handled the bureaucracy in the courts. And then on the other side, my great-grandfather was a surgeon on the Trans-Siberian Railway in Siberia.
So what happened when the Tsar was killed and his family? What happened to your great-grandparents?
So they were forced to flee during the Russian Civil War. The Russian Civil War started in 1917 and went on into the early 20s. And so they evacuated from St. Petersburg and from Samara to Siberia. Now, my great-grandfather was also an officer in the Russian army, in the White Army for the Tsar. And so he fought against the communists in the Civil War. And they began to evacuate as the White Army was driven further into Siberia, away from the capital of St. Petersburg at the time. So he and his family were forced to leave. In fact, my grandfather used to tell stories of how he would play near the cannons, because at the time when they'd have to evacuate the cannons, they couldn't take the time to go back and get the children and the families. They had to evacuate immediately. And so it was much easier if the children were close by the cannons, where they could evacuate everyone and everything immediately.
By any chance, do you have any family heirlooms from your great-grandparents?
I do. I have a lot of family documents and pictures from that time period that they were able to take out with them. Now, a lot of the family heirlooms, unfortunately, obviously, as they were leaving, they had to leave quite a few of them.
So what happened after the evacuation to them?
So after the evacuation, they ended up first in Vladivostok in eastern Russia on the coast. As it became obvious that the whites were losing the civil war, my great-grandfather sent my grandfather to Harbin in Manchuria, which was near China. So actually, as they were escaping, he had a trunk. The family had the trunk with them. My great-grandfather was not with them. And at the time, the communists in the region had passed a law where if you had any weapon on you, you were to be shot immediately. And they were stopped by a communist commissar and his troops as they were fleeing. And my great-grandmother was told to open the trunk, and the lock stuck. She couldn't open it. The commissar finally let them go, but later when they got to Harbin and they opened up the trunk, right on top was a gun that my great-grandfather had packed to help protect them. I presume that my great-grandmother gave him a lot of grief over that.
Was she allowed to continue the journey?
Yes, so she was allowed to continue the journey because they didn't want to force the lock, and they believed that it was really stuck, and they didn't want to destroy the whole trunk. So they allowed her to continue the journey. She got very lucky. On the other side, my great-grandfather on my grandmother's side was a surgeon, and he was delayed from leaving, and the communists captured the area where they were, and so he was put into custody. There was a commissar who was the leader of that region, a communist, needed an emergency surgery. And so he called my great-grandfather, and he said, "I'm willing to give you anything, but I need the surgery." And so my great-grandfather said that he would be willing to do the surgery only if he and his family were given an exit visa to leave the region after the surgery. The commissar agreed. The surgery was performed, and then when they got to the next town, there was a telegram saying that the exit visa had been canceled and to please return. Well, my great-grandfather pretended that he'd never received that telegram and continued on his way, and they ended up in Manchuria as well.
Providence was with both sets of great-grandparents.
That's right. Certainly, I was very lucky that that happened.
Both great-grandparents surviving the Bolshevik Revolution. What was the feeling about the Tsar's murder?
So they were obviously very upset that the Tsar was murdered, and that was done primarily to take the fight out of the whites or those who were protecting the Tsar's regime. And they were aware that things needed to change. They were hoping for a constitutional monarchy along the lines of what had happened in Britain, but they didn't want communism, and so they fought against the communist revolution. You know, they were very upset about how things went. And I remember when the Soviet Union collapsed, I asked my great aunt if she was pleased by the fact that the Soviet Union had fallen finally. And she told me in a very sad voice, she said, "No, it's finally the end of the Russian Empire." And that was very interesting.
Dr. Slobodchkov, we are running short of time. It looks like we need to turn this into a two-part family story. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. And Carolyn, anytime, I'd be happy to speak with you.
That was Dr. Michael Slobodchkov, chair of the Troy University Political Science Department and co-author of the book, Cultural Imperialism and the Decline of the Liberal World Order. And he and his co-author, Dr. Doug Davis, have a new book out called The Challenge to NATO, Global Security and the Atlantic Alliance. We'll get to an interview with them in the future. Meanwhile, we'll bring you part two of Dr. Slobodchkov's family story tomorrow on In Focus. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is now a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.